Thank you for coming tonight. Everybody to join us in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, please.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome to the Safety Facilities Committee meeting on July. Oh, that's the old one. What is today's date?
Yeah, that's the old one. Wait a minute. 27th.
27th today, wow. We almost got rid of this month.
Good.
Thank you.
I know.
You're welcome. Whoa.
Well, you know what happens? Right after the 4th, it just goes. It really does. Takes forever to get here for the 4th, but then it goes away. How's Jeff tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I've been better.
You just came down with that.
Last Thursday. I'm on the tail end of it now, but thank you.
How's your day?
Good. Crazy, but.
That's how mine's been.
Do what I do, but.
Got a lot of projects out, huh?
Do you? Got a lot going now?
Try to do something and then an email comes in and your phone rings and an email
comes
in.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the beast, isn't it? All right, we got the minutes from the July 13th. Everybody had a chance to take a look at them, if there's any corrections.
The question, okay, no, that's right. I'll move to accept as submitted.
I'll second.
Any further discussion? If none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mike.
Brian. Mark.
Usually the selectmen, we didn't say their names or whatever.
We got four tonight, so we're good, right?
Jeff. You're on here.
All right. Edwards. Oh.
Hi, Ed.
Who's on here?
Edward.
Yeah, the gentleman, she's a young guy in the audience.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hi.
I'm joining you from Fort Worth, Texas today.
Oh, my gosh.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow.
Fort Worth.
Yeah, down here working right now.
Ah.
Wow. What do? Herd cattle?
I think he's an electrician.
Is he? Okay, I guess where we left it last meeting, we were going to wait, and Tommy was going to bring us some revisions. Didn't have time.
So I didn't get the revisions. I did get everything from Mike that I needed with all the revised dimensions. So I'm redoing the architectural plan first, so then I could drop the actual new shape of the building with the widened sally port and the training room.
All right.
Attached, and I'm trying to position the training room like an L so that it will put the future firehouse or safety complex back where it's supposed to be so we can do the drive-through. So it's just a lot of moving parts on it, but I really need to focus on the police station first, getting that right, because that's
right.
Going to be built now and want to make it look right and have it in the right position to the road. So I just didn't get all that, but I'm almost there, and I didn't want to rush it to finish it for tonight. But I will have it for the next meeting for sure. I'll have both the plot plan. I did look into the architects and spoke to a couple different people, a builder we know, and Weaver Brothers, who this architect did their building over in Bowler there. And the GC that I spoke to, they've done fire departments, police stations, just so they're familiar with it. So one of those two guys, I just think they'd be a good one for the interview. I know you said you were going to pick a few for the interview. I just heard a lot of good things about them, that they're decent to work with. So,
is there a time frame?
No.
That we should?
No, I just knew you guys were maybe going to pick your list of three. And yeah, and I think in the next whatever next week or whenever you're gonna, seems like you should reach out to those three or four you want to talk to and set up your interviews for don't know, are you going to do them like at the next 2-week meeting or after that?
Well, it would be nice probably to do it at the next meeting.
Yeah, and I think you could. I think if you, with 2 weeks' notice with these three people you call, seems like it can't hurt to get an interview out of the way at the next meeting.
Yeah.
Because then by the time, then you're going to want the next couple of weeks to make a decision and pick who it's going to be. And by then, we'll have a plan nailed down that we could hand them a layout, a plan, everything, and they're off and running. They'd be good to go.
So they wouldn't be able to look at any plan then for a month?
They would be able to, in 2 weeks, when
yeah.
they come for their interview,
yeah.
there'll be a plan in front of them.
Perfect, okay.
Yeah.
And is there something specific that we should be asking them for questions? I know you do this all the time.
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing is going to be when they can get to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, what their schedule is, what the duration is, and an approximate cost. And I think we need to stick to those bases. And then beyond that, it's really the, you know, the most important thing is their experience. Because I think if we try to pick an architect that hasn't, I mean, look at the one you sent me, the police station you sent me, and then these guys that have done this already, we don't need to reinvent the wheel. All these, the cells are a certain way,
right.
the rooms are a certain way, the wiring for intercom systems, all that is all, these guys have already done that. You know, certain people have already done that. So I think it's going to be important to ask that in the interview, have you done police, fire, you know, those type of things? Because it's just going to make our life so much easier that we don't need to, you know, educate someone through the process.
So. And I think maybe even whoever calls and I can make a few calls on it.
Yes.
Before he even gets to that point, ask him what's their experience. If they like, oh, I just done residential.
Yeah.
Then okay, maybe we should be looking elsewhere, you know, or
right.
whatever. Or I did one.
Definitely.
Just kind of feel them out a little bit too as we go
yeah,
along
exactly.
on the phone over the phone.
I would try to pick three suitable, like I think these guys did Meredith Fire Department or some other police stations. And, you know, I think that's going to be part of your due diligence is set up your interview, call those references that they've worked on, you know, and that's going to be, you know, just help you ask the right questions for that day. But I would definitely try to shoot for, you have 2 weeks notice, so next week if you're calling these few people, there's no reason why 2 weeks from today you shouldn't be interviewing those three or four people that you pick and within a week pick somebody. Let them get to work.
Perfect.
Tom?
Yep.
How many bays do you have in the fire?
Just what was ever on that original plan.
Is there places for ambulances in there?
That I don't know. I didn't, you know, there's so much room for that to grow.
Oh, there is.
Well, yeah, it's just, I'm so focused on trying to get the police station in the
yep.
right spot, orientated the right way. Because
that's
what we're going to stare at for a long time.
I don't think we were going to try to design the fire
yeah,
department.
Yeah, so it's like that all I'm really doing is, well, it's basically the plan you sent me, but at least it takes up a placeholder, and
okay.
at least it can connect to the police station, and there'll be a hall to connect that. But, and then from there, it's just open field and wood, so it's like you could put in another bay and another bay and another bay if you wanted to, but it's like, that's going to be designed so far down the road that it's like, as long as we leave a place to connect it and leave room for it to grow, that's really my only concern. The police station, I'm trying to actually nail down room sizes that Mike gave me, the improvements to the room sizes that Mike gave me that they want to see incorporated so that we actually have like an architectural beginning of a plan for the architects that come next week.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to lay that plan on the table, say, here's conceptually what we're looking at. Now, it's not going to be to the inch, but it's going to be so they all can look at it that day and know what they're bidding on or what they're looking at. So this SMP that I recommended tonight, that's who Kyle recommended to me for an architect,
really.
And they also did Weaver's building, so I also called Adam, and Adam said, yeah, they were terrific to work
with. So that's a contact guy, Jason?
SMP, right out of Concord. No.
Jason Lacombe, is he's the contact
yes.
person?
Yes, yep.
Did you have somebody else too?
And I thought, yeah
Russ,
you had somebody.
The guy from Auburn, or was that it?
The
or?
Guy that did Auburn's.
Yeah.
You have that? Someone?
And and I don't know if you had a third or not, or who did the one you used Barnstead that you sent me, Mike? Who did that?
They did it themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, they did?
They had a local guy, a local contractor did it.
Okay. I haven't done it, but I think I mentioned at the last meeting, I'm going to call the chief up there, and I think they're building inspector. He's a developer.
Oh.
Right.
And I'm not sure if
he
did
it.
I don't know if he drafted it up or if he...
But somebody had to stamp some drawings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, someone had to do energy codes.
I will follow up on that.
Yeah, I mean, they must have had an architect help them. I mean, we can get it pretty well drawn, but at the end of the day, you still need all that stuff.
Right.
Because
it's pretty hard without...
Yeah, can't certify.
To do a material list without having it.
Yeah.
Michael Kane, is that a possibility?
No, he wasn't. I asked Rob about that. I have a meeting with Mike tomorrow. I'm going to ask him. So I might have one other name, but I wanted someone that
had... But they probably have him so worried.
Right. Well, and these guys have fire and police experience, and I just think that's going to simplify our whole process. So, yeah.
Have you heard of Burnell Associates?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Steve Burnell. Yeah.
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 And that's the one that I had talked to get some type of idea, and he'd be glad to come
in. They're definitely a bigger firm, but they're very good.
I don't know. I don't know what size they are.
Yeah, they're a pretty big firm. Yeah, they're out of Manchester.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have that. You can keep that in the file.
They're definitely worth a call, you know, for sure. I guess you might find they're either available to take on if we're just attacking the police station or not, but it's worth the call for sure. They're definitely savvy in it, exactly.
I basically told them we started, and it was just very informal.
Yeah.
And he basically threw out, we can do some of the work for you to prepare you or what have you.
Yeah.
But I think, like you're saying, it's talk to a number of different people and see what's what it is. That's,
No, but that gives us, because you can't just talk to two people. We need three or four people to talk to, and then you're going to get a different view of everything to make an intelligent decision.
Yeah, So, because this is his references and everything in here.
Good. But save that for
he
that.
He did where?
For that interview.
Did where?
I don't know what he...
They did where and
where?
Auburn.
Oh, okay.
The two that they...
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is so.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know him from Adam. I just asked Auburn people, and they gave me his name.
Yeah. No, I've known those guys for years.
Yeah. Way to go about it.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Chester's building a new police station, too.
Really? Building it now?
No, they're in the... It's like $4 million. Yeah, they're in the early stages, and they spent like $100,000 on engineering.
Excuse me?
And they get their own... piece of property. The old school that's on 121 where the town hall is and now, behind it was a field.
Yeah.
And they want to put the PD out behind that. And I think it's just I don't think it's a safety complex because they just built that fire department like 10 years ago maybe.
Yeah. Not that long.
You know, the one on 102?
Yep.
But I can at least call over to the chief and find out what the architect is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then I'll call the other department.
I would definitely call Barnstead. Yeah.
And find out who did theirs.
Is this something, Lisa, that we wanted to see if this committee wanted to have input on?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Any of them. Because I only sent it to chairs and
Commissions. Okay.
A couple of you guys got it, but Russ didn't get it. Mark didn't get it. He knows about it. But.
This is a notice from the planning board requesting all departments within the town of Candia to participate in this, the GIS, Geographic Informational System. And so they're just looking, what is it, August 4th, I think it said, Lisa?
Yes.
August 4th. So if anybody wants to come to that, just to share and get information on that, it would be beneficial to all the departments in town. So that we can get on board with this.
Where is it at?
To be here.
Oh, here.
It's the planning board meeting.
Right.
Oh,
so 7 o'clock, August 4th. You guys can also send any information you might have or ideas to my email if you'd like. And members, if you work with GIS already, you could send that information to us as well and how that helps you. And that way I can get it to the board. But you're welcome to come.
Is that something you guys?
We use it. I mean, every other town has it.
Right. Well, at least the big cities, but...
We're ahead of the curve, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, you go on for, like, Portsmouth, you know, can grab their water, grab the sewer, grab, you know, everything, and obviously...
That's what we're looking at, because it kind of overlays everything you're talking about.
Just the overlays are just so much more accurate, and it's really just very informational, very user-friendly for people to move around, and it's, I think it's just simple to access now, to have someone help you get through that process, or...
The other thing that came up last night at the selectmen's meeting too, Boyd shared with us, is another source of income that he applied for through Gene Shaheen's office, and Candia has been approved. There's no guarantee that the money is going to be there, but it's not going to be issued until 2022, and I don't think it, what do you say, it doesn't come in till way after January,
yeah.
Right? Like
this is, it's
quarter.
On the list.
So we're on the list, there's another one, Rochester's also on the list, but we're on the list, and it's exactly what we're talking about, it's for safety complexes, fire, PD.
This is different than the one you...
Correct, this is above and beyond, this is $2,174,000. So, if that comes to fruition, there,
that's,
that would be
the police station right there.
Oh, wow! Don't let that get out there.
What kind of police station were you designing?
We won't be able to build a closet.
The dimensions might gave me.
They'll have us in the existing building on the property. Yeah.
But I don't think it means that we should, you know, delay or set back or anything. We'll move forward with the PD. And this is just awesome. If that does come through, that just speeds the process up for the fire department and the highway department, because all those are listed in there
as
acceptable expenditures. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
But for 2 weeks from today, the only plan I'll have for them is I just want to get Mike's architect plan.
That's all we need.
And I'll probably come to see you like next week during the week. I just want to open it up with you and just make sure we kind of know the dimensions.
I'll come down.
Yeah, okay.
I can come right down to the shop.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. And then just so before we put a plan on the table that night, you and I have looked over it.
All right, absolutely.
Okay.
Great.
The only other thing I had, Dick, did you want to share that?
I wanted to get you to remember that I've handed almost everybody in this friggin' town a CD that was of the Chester's exercise due to the GIS. Which
right.
Was a perfect exercise why we should do it. But
good.
What do you want me to share?
Whatever you came to share, that's fine.
Okay.
This will be painful.
I spoke to the Board of Selectmen last night.
I don't think this applies to you. No. Listen.
Thank you.
What I'm interested in, I think that the process that you're trying to do as a political process is important, and I support it. I wasn't following all the safety things because of personal problems, but the way that you're trying to do things, I think, is a good thing for the town, and I personally support it. Now, think about the political process. I put together this is a warrant article that could be used, okay? Think of the political process where if the Board of Selectmen were to call a special town meeting and use this, there's things in there that may need to be changed, math, log numbers, and all the rest of that stuff. You'd be able to go to a town meeting where the whole town would be asking you what it was, you'd be able to explain the whole process of what it is we're trying to accomplish. And then you'd get a vote on it. Now, my gut tells me that the town would vote yes. It isn't going to cost any money. There's no money in here. It's free. You got, however, two opposing views of the possibility of taking that property over there and giving it to Ronnie so he could develop it. And that was reflected in somewhat in the last Conservation Commission meeting, okay? Let me give you just a quick example. And one of the reasons why, I personally spent an awful lot of time, beginning in the 1990s, getting the town to vote to put pieces of property that belonged to the town into the care and management of the Conservation Commission. Because there's no cost associated with those. They're free. Yeah, you don't get any tax benefits from them, but then you don't have any kids in the school or older people who are going to die and require an ambulance. Okay? So, suppose I get pissed because you try and do it 4114A. Well, all right, I'm going to go take it to court. I might win. I think I would, but I might not. But that's going to slow down the whole process. Let's not do that. Let's just have a special meeting called. And I've done the homework. There's no reason why the Board of Selectmen can't say, let's do a special town meeting. We've got a great deal going on here. Here's what the deal is. We're going to get from Ronnie a bunch of properties. We're going to give Ronnie a couple properties that are a town forest. And we're also going to give the Conservation Commission the ability to put conservation easements on two town forests so that it doesn't happen again. This one, I think, is a good one. Try and do the other two. I will take you to court if I'm still alive. So, here's what I've given you. I've got all the homework of how you could take and put a town meeting together, special town meeting. Little cost associated with it, but it's a great advertising opportunity for you guys, okay? You got any problems with it? Ronnie's got problems with it? I think Ronnie can say, okay, it's an equal value swap. How's my accountant going to handle that? I think he can take care of that, okay?
I got some stuff that we got to head this in a direction, and there's some things I found out to clarify whether we're still going to go in that direction. This is just an idea at this time. This isn't something we're pushing unless we find out that this would work.
Okay.
There's more to it. I got all the names I need. I got everything and more accurate information on the property. I do agree that might be a viable way to clean it up so that it's out in the open and it's done. If that's going to be the deal, that there's a swap, yeah, accountants and all that. That's beside the point. They work all that out. But it's just a matter that the town, it was put in there by a town vote, maybe it should come out by a town vote. I don't know. That's, you just have to weigh out. There's a little cost to putting a special town meeting together.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe you can wait till town meeting, you know, who knows. But I'd rather not have this come back and find out there's a whole lot of people that didn't know about it and didn't want it.
Right.
So whatever, you know, I'd rather just get out there now.
Yes.
And find out what it's.
Anyway, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm interested in.
Good.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Okay.
Thank you. Is there anything you want to share now, or just wait, or what?
Should I segue in it? Well, let me just. This is.
Let me give you this here. I'm totally unrelated, but I'll explain it later.
All right.
Someone in your office needs that little number right there. So. I'll toss a couple of these around here and look there. So there's really two parcels, two pieces that go with that.
And that one up there in North Road?
So I highlighted that corner. Everything in that perimeter was my 150-acre mm-hmm. piece of property, with the exception of that corner, which was taken out by taxes. Now, this guy, Arthur Dwinell, is his name. And a lot of this work I did years ago. I researched this thing all the way back to the beginning of time. But in this corner, there's two parcels plus the schoolhouse. This guy named Arthur Dwinell bought the schoolhouse in 1953. Okay? And I have all the deeds for that. So at the time he bought the schoolhouse, and then the same year he bought this piece right here, which is 7 acres, just to the left of it. Uh-huh. The piece to the right of it is only 5 acres. So we'll only come up with 12 acres by deed here. So it's not even 16 acres. And one of the issues is the brook. There's a big culvert that crosses, because this is DeLongchamp's property in here.
Yeah.
And it kind of comes through and comes right through this piece.
Okay.
So I haven't really been out in there that much, but it's not going to be, at most, it's not going to be a development. It might be two lots or something. So that's kind of what we're looking at, just to clarify that. So let me jump ahead here. So 1953, and this is interesting because the town that was given that lot in 1886. I have the deed from Everett Hubbard, which says this lot is to be only used for a schoolhouse and never to be sold. That's regardless of the point.
Wow.
So it got sold in 1953, and what happened was there was a lot of tax advertisements and all that. That I saw there's a tax redemption because he had passed away. It was his daughter that sold the schoolhouse lot to somebody else. And then since then it changed hands 4 or 5 times. So the chain of title and that schoolhouse lot is gone. The deed for the 7-acre piece is pretty clear. I could follow it all the way back and bring it forward. And it's very clear that he owns the 7 acres in here. It measures out. These stone walls are all here. So that exists. When he bought this lot in 1953 as well, it talks about the boundaries going up to his property. So that tells me that he already owned the 5-acre piece. I have a big problem. I get this thing all the way back in the 1700s. I can bring it all the way through to 1920 to a guy named Edson, and then all the chain drops off. Dwinell shows up in 1930 on a tax redemption, but back then there was no records of this at the registry. So I'm under the impression that he bought this piece of land at a tax sale. So that's the 1930 number I had in my head. Other than that, when the town took it for taxes, it wasn't until 1980.
Right.
So it's really not that old. It's the first tax sale. I'm thinking it was 100 years old. So what happened is he passed away. I don't have the date yet, but I have the probate number. His wife had predeceased him. He had one daughter, this Jeanette Gardner. So this Jeanette comes in and sells this lot, explains in the deed when she sold the schoolhouse, how she got title to the lot, when her, the probate number, and that her mother predeceased him. The other two, she never lived here, by the way. So if you do the dates and the numbers, she never lived in this little house. So I don't think she ever really knew about the other properties. I think she sold the house, figured I'm all done, I'm out of here. And then the town took the other two pieces for taxes.
In 1980.
Okay. 80. So the good news is Jeanette Gardner only had one daughter. Her name is Lorraine. Her name is still Lorraine Gardner, so I'm assuming she's single. She's 61 years old, lives in Holbrook, Massachusetts. I have a phone number and an address. So if we need to get to her, she's the sole, which is unusual, but it's down to one person if we need to make a contact and know where it is. Now, the problem in the chain is going to be not so much that 1980 tax sale. I have the stuff here, and it all happened and seems legit. But the problem is, because this was obtained by tax sale, a title company's going to want to go back one more sale. You can't get there because there's no records. Right. So somehow I got to get his, first of all, I got to get his probate records and make sure that he did will this piece to his wife or daughter, and she's the correct owner when it was taken away. Otherwise, it gets to be a snag, because he might have left this piece of land to somebody else, and you know, then you're on a wild goose chase.
Right.
Also got to go back to 1930, find the tax sale records, and find out how he obtained that piece of property. So those are the two. We're down to those two issues. Okay. So that's the legwork to get it done. It's not going to be too difficult. The downside is it's only 12 acres, and there's just a big pond down in the middle of this one. So we're looking at maybe two lots here if this gets split up. Might not even need to be subdivided because they're pre-existing lots.
Okay.
So might make it easier, but...
And each one you think would be feasible for a lot?
I'm not sure about this one because it drops right off the road, and then it goes down into the brook. So I'm not sure... if this is a buildable lot. But that's my next mission, is to go down there and check that out. But just so we don't get redundant before you start chasing town council around to go find people, I think if the time comes this is going to happen, then we will contact her, see what she knows about it, if she's clear on what happened, you know. And then I don't know. Then we got to find out. It's 1980, so we're 40 years later. Do they have rights to it? I've asked around, and I've been told no.
Right.
That once it's gone.
And I was surprised when we were told that deal up on Donovan Road, they still had rights, because I thought there was a time frame where if the property went for deed, for taxes, there's just a short window there that you have the ability to either buy it back or whatever.
Right.
Other than that, it's gone. You're done.
Yeah.
And that is not what...
Yeah.
The attorney told us on that deal up there.
Yeah. Well, at a normal transaction after 3 years,
that's what
I thought. It would go up for auction.
That's what I thought.
All right. Now, it all depends what happened. Now, if you read this thing and it's funny because on some of these notices they just list the half acre lot with the house, which is the schoolhouse building.
Right.
And then, like on this one here, he's listed twice for land on North Road and one for land and building. If you go back a year, he's only listed once. So I'm not sure, you know, you get into these little things where it might have never even been advertised. But it was advertised. This is 78.
Right.
It doesn't show up. In 79, it shows up, which isn't that long ago. You know, Henry's not here anymore.
Right.
But it does say this is going to be sold at 10 o'clock. On the 28th of September. So what happened that day? Was there an actual sale and nobody bid on it, so the town kept it? If that's the case, then it's a done deal. But if there was never an auction held, you go down another road, because then it was never auctioned off. So
the process wasn't complete.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. You have some connection to the tax collector, but maybe there's some records that say what happened back on that day.
I did a lot of researching. I know the Registry of Deeds.
Yeah.
I have a huge stack, and I think I might be able to help you.
Well, the registry won't set. See, even though this is what's at the registry for that tax sale.
Oh, okay.
That's the advertisement for the tax sale. Now, if they had the tax sale, the next thing would be the town would own this property by a tax collector's deed. If you sold to somebody, there'd be a tax collector's deed where it got granted
that
to somebody.
Transferred over,
but there is no deed. No, the town never recorded a deed to put it in there, from what I can see.
Okay.
And that would have been 79, you said?
Yeah, looks like 79, September 28th, 79.
So those records are not that far, so that we
should... No, I mean, that should be something we could find out. So that's kind of what we need to do, is we need to clarify how that sale happened, and that would tell us whether we even need to contact her or not. And then the next thing that's going to come up, because if this ever happened and I had to go get title insurance, this 1930 thing is going to pop up, because there's really no clear way to tell how he got title to the property in the first place.
From 20 to 30?
Right, from 1920 to 1930, there's a big 10-year
gap there with no information.
Right, this guy Edson, his name, it doesn't appear anywhere. You know, now I could go, I don't have access to probate records, but I could go to probate, this guy might have got it through probate. But it's interesting because there's a at the registry, I don't think I have that one. But it says 1930, and it says tax redemption, Arthur Dwinell, Town of Candia. So that tells me he paid when there's a redemption, that means that person paid up the taxes.
Yeah.
But there was never a lien against his name. So maybe they did it different. You know, that's the problem. In the 30s, the tax sales were very, very...
Well, yeah, because I believe back then, prior to the last 30-something years there, if people could just come in and pay back taxes
right.
and grab the
right. and they did that.
The piece of property.
They did it a lot, and that's why there's a lot of snags.
And
that's why the title company are very...
They had a lot of selectmen that were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
they had the insight on
yeah.
what was coming up, you
yeah.
know, had taxes out on it.
Yeah.
And they stopped that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I had one where the administrator of the estate wasn't left, the land wasn't left to him,
right.
it was left to a nephew. This was the son or son-in-law, he had me the administrator. He didn't pay the taxes, went up for tax sale, and he paid the taxes and got it.
Right.
So 50 years later, I go to buy it, and it got all hung up because it didn't go the right channel.
Right.
It should have, and the nephew went to war and never came back, so
oh,
it's just... So yeah, it gets very, very complicated when it's that old.
Wow.
But so we just need to, and that's why some of these things end up sitting around, you know, and
with
never get sold.
Yeah.
And the town forest is a good thing to have them do. But we'll, you know, we can, you know, still I think if there's two good sized lots there and they could be sold, you know, there's still some value there,
okay.
and still leaving the backland. You know, is not going to get developed.
Okay.
We can even stipulate that in a deed. So I made a lot of headway on who the people are, what the dates are. I just need to clarify, and I'm not really sure how to do that, but I got to clarify that 1979 sale. So if anybody's got any, if, I know there's tax books in the closet here, and it might show up something, but
oh, okay, 1979.
They're older than that. There's a lot of old books in the
right.
closet. And
I wanted to research if you give me more details.
Yeah, so I can come down someday and
okay.
fill you in on that, and just a little bit of research to, you know,
perfect.
See how that goes. And if we clear up that one, then we'll jump back to the next one and see what, like I say, when you get into the old ones, sometimes it's just a quiet title situation because you can't find those people.
No, I know.
It's almost
yeah.
impossible.
So
that's where it is.
Perfect. Thank you, Ronnie, for doing that.
You need help with the probate court? I don't know anybody there, but I'm willing to make
it's
some
just,
calls.
It's just, you can't get it online, and, you know, it's nice that you don't have to go to the registry and do all this anymore, but probate, you do have to go down. And it's just, and I don't know how they are these days. With the COVID thing, I don't go anywhere because you never know how you're going to get received. But I was going to have Jim Franklin. He's down there a lot. I was going to have him just pick that up for me. And that's an easy thing. Just got to make sure that she was the rightful heir to that piece of property.
Yeah, because Jim has offered his help in any way he could.
Yeah.
Because,
again, the tax lien was against the it's against his estate. It wasn't against her.
Right.
It's against his estate. So we got to make sure that in his estate, who he left that property to. I'm assuming, you know, he might not even have mentioned it as well. You never know. He might have just mentioned the house. So, but whatever. But if that's the case, legally it'd be hers anyway. Unless he gave it to someone else, it would be hers. And, you know, if we need a sign off, we'll go get it. So that's that.
Geez, you want a part-time detective job?
Yeah, right.
He's doing a lot of work there.
That registration is going to take more detective work than.
Nothing about this, but we'll.
I'll explain it after then.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for your effort.
Dick, what do you got?
Brian mentioned a 3-year thing on the tax sales thing. I didn't agree on that. I was doing some research the other day, and I think I saw one that's a punter of a 5-year point at which any tax sale becomes final, and then the rest of it doesn't matter. I'll see if I can find it again.
Okay.
I'm not a lawyer. I can't give you legal advice.
Well, it doesn't mean you can't. Just might not be accurate.
Yeah.
All right. Was there anything else? I know the next thing we wanted to do was get in touch with some architects. We got two.
I'll reach out.
Three, aren't there?
Two.
Oh, that's the same
one
up on the top.
This is one.
I thought there was two.
Yeah.
And I'll reach out to Bonstead.
Okay.
Follow up with them. have that information. I'll talk to you beforehand.
All right, good.
And I have a meeting with that other guy tomorrow. I want to ask him if he does municipal buildings.
Oh, okay, so you might have a third, you might have another one.
I didn't want to write him down yet until I talk, but I have a meeting with him tomorrow. So if he is, I'll get that fourth name and number to him.
Perfect.
At least you'd have four to call and interview.
You could just email it to me or Linda or whatever.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
And we'll reach out and try to set that up for the 2 weeks around, right?
Yeah.
That's what we want to do?
That'd be a good thing to do, but that keeps the ball moving.
Everything's the little steps, and sooner you can do it, the better, I think.
And Boyd is working on some of the procedural things on that, Ronnie, too.
Yeah, that'd be good. Actually, there's something, these things aren't the registry, these were in the file from.
Yeah.
So evidently somebody else was trying to buy that lot back along in 99.
Well, back in 99 is when the Board of Selectmen was trying to sell it to DeLongchamps.
Yeah, that's what it says here.
Right. And at that time, they said now they weren't interested in spending any money for it. They could just use it and
yeah.
and not own it.
Yeah.
How do you argue with that?
The daughter was still alive then. Because she just died at 95 years old in 2011. So she would have been in her 80s.
Right.
And they must have got a hold of her. So it'd be very interesting because here's a quick claim deed.
Because I was on the board then, and I remember having the meeting with Donald Champs and discussing and purchasing.
Now, Marianne Fisher's, that's not, were Fisher's in that house? I thought they were across the street.
I think they were in that house.
They were in that one.
I think so.
Yes, because it has it on the list.
I think so.
That's what I thought, but that name doesn't come up on my list. So they were living there, but I always thought they rented that.
It's very possible because I think the old man owned it. Danny owned it, I think.
Yeah. And I think they wanted to buy it. So it looks like the deed was prepared from, well, this is, it's funny that the warranty deed is on.
But then I think Kevin moved into it.
Yeah, this stuff was prepared but never happened.
All right.
So there's a reason, so evidently,
we're probably going to get financing or whatever.
I might need some copies of that.
Good.
Oh, that'll save a lot of time.
Yeah. Was there anything else? Anybody want to share? See nothing? So we'll have another meeting in 2 weeks from tonight, 5 o'clock again. And we'll try to reach out. You'll get me one more, and you're going to get one more there.
Pardon? Of August 10th?
What is 2 weeks?
August 10th.
10th?
Yes.
10th, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Correct?
Sounds good.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
See nothing else?
Thank you.
All right.
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Yep.
Russ, yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for all that.
Michael.